chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I am delighted to have Christy Barker on the show today. Christy is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Olin Corporation. Well, Christy, welcome to the Something Extra Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad we're doing this, and we've tried getting this scheduled a few times.
We have probably at least 6 months, so I am grateful. And you are one busy woman. I have heard your schedule for the day. I know you're just back to back to back, so I'm just honored that you're making the time.
But I'm honored too. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to kind of go back and go, people always want to know, how did you get to know this person? You and I have known each other for a very long time. And as you say, we were super young when we first met.
I know. And, I think, I was married. So you met Johnny.
Yes.
My husband, and I met Greg.
Yes.
But I think it was before I had kids. So, it had to have been 25 or more years ago.
Crazy. We were at a gala.
Yeah, we were at a junior achievement gala.
Uh-huh. We were at a junior achievement gala and just
all dressed up. Yeah.
All dressed up. Yeah. So anyway, I love it though. When, and then we've just remained friends, and it's wonderful. And we're in some organizations together and that sort of thing, which are really fun. But, you're an award-winning CIO. I know you wouldn't say that about yourself, but you are. We're going to talk about that just a little bit.
Okay.
You were an Orby finalist. In fact, you were an Orby national finalist last year, and I was very privileged and honored to go to that in Boston. And so, you've just had a tremendous career journey. But before we get into that, Christy, I want to really chat about growing up. And I really want you, if you would, I would love for you to talk about your sweet mama. Because I know your mama was such an inspiration to you, and she still inspires you to this day.
She does. I mean, we had lunch, so we chatted a little bit about this. And oftentimes people ask me, who had some big impacts on your life? And not just that, in your career. And there's been some great leaders that I have been exposed to. And great people that I've learned business skills from, business acumen, technology. But, who I am as a person truly comes down to, my parents, and in particular, my mom. She was a single mom. My parents divorced when they were young. When I was young, they were young too.
Right.
When that happens, I think it can be so easy for parents to get so caught up in the busyness of their own lives and things that can happen. And my mom is just, from the inside out, she exudes positivity. I mean, and self-improvement. And no matter how hard the challenge, and we had challenges, we had no money, and there were times when we were hungry. And I was, wearing secondhand clothes, and it was a very humbling, childhood, but she just, I remember being in the car in the house, and she'd put in these little cassette tapes back. I mean, think about this. This was back in the late 70s, in the 80s. And my mom's listening to Tony Robbins. I mean, back when he was just getting his start. But
I
this
love it.
idea of, how do you overcome challenges in your life? And so everything that I am is really built on the way that my mom has lived her life, and I'm emulating that same attitude and graciousness and joy, and not getting destroyed by the hard things that happen to us. Every day.
You know, Chrissy, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about that old adage that things like that are caught more than they're taught. You can teach it, but your mom lived it. And she was the model, you
She
know, for
was. I
you.
mean, just such, demonstrated. And now we're, we talk about leadership and what we're doing. She truly, at such a young age, for her, demonstrated what real leadership was. And knowing that she was a role model for me and my younger sister, I mean, it really is amazing. And then she still tells this story. I mean, she was an administrative assistant at a big hospital, and she would work, and sometimes she'd have to work on the weekends and to come in and catch up. And she would bring me and my sister into the office with her. And her desk was right outside the big boardroom of this hospital. And we would go, my sister and I would go into the boardroom, and my mom says, "Christy, I still remember like peeking in there, and you've got stuffed animals sitting in chairs around the boardroom table, and you've got papers in front of all of them, and you're standing there in front of the table." Like leading. And she said, "Wait," she remembers thinking to herself, "You're like, okay, I think, I see something here." And just she really just supported the growth of both me and my sister.
Yeah, precious. I love that so much. I do. I love that so much. And, you know, I also love that story you just told me, and I not heard that story about you leading in the boardroom. But I cannot tell you, Christy, I'm going to do a study on this. If I ever go get my doctorate, which is not on the horizon, but if I do, maybe my body of work will be talking about what kids did as children. It's crazy to me how many times I talk to leaders and they're like, you know, you were doing something like, I don't know, you know, taking computers apart or something like that. And then you end up being, you know, a IT professional. I mean, it's crazy to me how many cases there are like that, but I can totally see it, you know,
It's
and she
true.
saw
I
that there
mean,
was a
ask
leader in your.
probably any CIO, and to this day, I was the programmer of VCRs when I was a kid, and recording, for my entire family. I'm still the help desk of my family.
I hear that. So, you know, Greg is the IT professional. You know, he was a software engineer at McDonnell Douglas. I was corporate accounting and then went into sales. But he says that all the time. He's the help desk. It's like, oh dear. Oh my goodness. Well, you went on, you know, to study computer information systems at Missouri State University. You know, what inspired you? Was there someone or something that inspired you to go that path? Because I mean, you could have gone engineering, you could have done all kinds of things with your ability to navigate tech, but why computer information systems?
Well, first of all, I was the first person in my family to go to university. And so, there wasn't a lot of you can be an engineer, or you can, I just didn't know. And so I knew what I was exposed to. My mom worked in offices, so I'm like, I'll do business.
Something
And
in business.
yes, I'll start in business. So I actually started off like, I think you said like Greg, I was an accounting major.
Yes, I was
was.
too.
Oh,
We
you
both were.
were
Yeah, Greg was an
too.
accounting
I think
major.
it's numbers, you know, like math was always my
Math.
favorite
Yes.
subject. I loved math. And so I'm like, okay, accounting is numbers. I think I can do accounting. And yeah, it was fine. It wasn't my passion, but I, again, here's a influence that my mother had on me. I was a sophomore in college. Actually, I think it started when I was younger, and she said, "Christy, have you thought about computers? I think there's something to this computer thing that you might want to
It's
consider. It might be a good career."
going to be big.
So I took her advice, of course, and took my first information systems course, and it just clicked. And I don't even think I got through the semester, and I was already with the advisor changing my major, and you know, the rest is history.
Hey, Christy, this is funny. I don't know if you've met Kimberly Martin yet. Kim Martin from MasterCard. She's an EVP at
I
MasterCard.
have, yes.
She started in accounting too. And she said, I'm not really sure that this is for me. Took her first computer class and she said she was hooked.
Yeah.
So there's something there too, but I do think it's kind of the math, maybe, you know, and when you're good at that and
It's analytics, you know, it's just how you think about, you know, process orientation. It's very structured and logical.
Now you said that you started as a COBOL programmer, and you said that wasn't really for you.
Okay, like I can program, but it's just doesn't match my personality. Like I can only sit and write code for so long before I'm hopping up and I've got to talk to people. So yeah, you know, I think I did my stint that I knew I would have to do early in my career, but I was quick to look for something else.
Yes. Well, and I think you were doing that at Monsanto, which of course is now Bayer, a very iconic company here in the St. Louis region. We love Monsanto, Bayer. Great company. But you know, I think then eventually you were put into a big enterprise resource planning project. And I'm assuming that was SAP, but
Yep,
it could have been something else.
it was their big SAP
SAP.
project, yeah.
What were the lessons that you learned through that? What did you learn about yourself? And I think you've already told me what you learned about yourself is I can't just sit there and code all day long. I need to be interacting with people and being, you know, because really with that SAP implementation, I'm sure there is a lot of communication that needs to go
Yeah.
on with the business, right?
You know, here's what I learned really. I liked creating something new, like really thinking about how do you transform the way you're doing something yesterday to how you want to do something tomorrow. And that is not by yourself, individually thinking of these ideas. It is true collaboration. And I learned so early in my first jobs at Monsanto that I thrived and I had better ideas sitting in a room with other experts or people with more experience with me talking through a problem. And then my ideas got even better. And that is what I learned about myself is, you know, I can contribute more when I'm working with people, I'm connecting with people, I'm listening. And also recognizing I'm never the expert in the room. And you know, I have so much to learn from other people.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody yesterday, Christy, and it just reminds me, I was saying about like really leading with humility, leading with empathy, compassion, that sort of thing. But I said, you know, that old adage that says, you know, if you think you're the smartest person in the room, you're clearly in the wrong room.
I
You
mean,
know?
it is so true.
Yes.
You know,
Well,
you may have expertise, a lot more expertise than somebody else in a particular, but it's, you know, there's so much more value that can be driven if you really listen and work together with everybody that's in the room.
Yeah. Well, and I've watched you. I've watched you through your career, and I mean, I know you're so collaborative in what you're doing now. And so I just love that. But in 2004, you went to ICL, and for our listeners that don't know, that's Israel Chemical Limited. It may be, yeah, Chemicals Limited. It may be something different now. I don't know. Is it still ICL?
Yeah, it's still ICL.
It's still ICL. Yeah, and this was quite an experience for you in a number of ways, because you were brought in to lead IT transformation and establish business shared services for ICL in Europe. But I think this might be what took you over to Europe, and you lived in Amsterdam for 9 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, when I joined ICL, ICL had a few business units, which meant, and they were, and ICL itself was a holding company. So each business unit had its own organization beyond IT, its own finance team and commercial teams, and including an IT organization. But they were all business units in the chemical industry. So, you know, there was a recognition by the executive leadership team at the time that there is probably so much more we can do if we leverage the commonalities across the businesses. So, you know, I was the CIO of one of the business units that was actually based here in the US. Mm-hmm. And I had was asked, and, you know, so thankful for this opportunity to go to Israel. And I worked for 2 years, just focused on their global reorg and transformation of their IT. So taking our four different organizations and figuring out how we could become one global team supporting mm-hmm. all business units. So it took a couple years to get there, but it was such a great experience, tons of travel. People can't believe, you know, I say, listen, it was a 2 year period and I had residency in Israel, but I was still traveling. I was traveling back and forth between the US and Israel every 2 weeks for 2 years. I look back on that. I'm like, I don't know how I survived it. With family, you know, thank God my husband just was fantastic. He stepped up and, you know, really did what needed to be done during that period in our life when I was mm-hmm. You know, I committed to doing this. I needed to follow through with it. And you know, the outcome was great. I mean, today I'm not with ICL today, but, you know, they're still running that global organization. And then from there, after that was done, the company asked me to do a reload to Amsterdam. And so we were there for about 2 to 3 years. And mm-hmm. again, a fantastic experience. You know, my kids have traveled so well for their age.
Yes, I was going to ask you like the world about is that.
Small. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. and
what an
you know,
experience.
So again, you know, it was tough to leave family. I'm from St. Louis, so my family is here, and to pick up and leave is not always an easy decision. It was a bit of a courageous decision, a leap of faith that we had to take. Because I had offers like this, go do an international assignment here and there. And, you know, only so much can you turn them down and say no. I'm like, mm-hmm. Johnny and I felt like, okay, we need to do this. And, mm-hmm. and we took advantage of it. So glad that we did.
Yes.
ICL's a great company. And I miss that team very much.
Right. Well, I know you did great things there. But it had to have been just an amazing experience for Rachel and Alice too. I mean, were they little, Chrissy? Were they little during that time? So, were they in school?
Rachel was, so my oldest was in just starting high school.
Okay.
And my youngest was finishing like grade school, going into middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for my oldest, for Alice, she was very excited about the move. You know, she's more like me. She, you know, a bit of an adventure seeker, yes. and a risk taker. And, you know, so she was all in. My youngest, maybe it was the age, was much more hesitant about making the change. But, you know, it did not take long. Kids mm-hmm. are so adaptable.
They so resilient.
Very quickly. Yeah. And then when we moved back to the US, oh, it was like the opposite, you know, nobody wanted to come back. They had just kind of resettled themselves living in the Netherlands. So, but now, everybody adjusts back.
Right. Well, I've not met Alice, but I've met Rachel, and that young woman could walk into any room and talk to anyone. And I mean, you'll never really know, Christy, maybe just how that experience of being uprooted and put into a new situation really helped her build her agility muscle. Yeah. So who knows?
I think you're very right. And I think, part of that is confidence that, that they can survive in a very ambiguous type of a situation. And, they just push themselves forward and know they're gonna come out on the other end, as good as they did in the beginning.
Right. Yes. Well, okay. We're gonna start with Olin a little bit, and then we need to take a very quick break, and then we'll be right back with the second half here. But you had an amazing experience there. In May of 2016, you were brought into Olin as a CIO. And what were you brought in to do, Christy?
I joined Olin about 9 months after they closed on a very large acquisition of several business units from Dow Chemical. So, Olin at the time, in 2015, Olin was roughly a $2 billion business. It had they had a $1 billion business in ammunitions because they own Winchester, and $1 billion chemical company. Then they bought some units from Dow Chemical, and it was a $5 billion business. So just imagine, just in their chemicals business alone, they went from 1 billion operating really in the US, in Canada, and some international sales to being a 6 billion plus chemical company that was global and the leader in the global market now. The leader in, of their the businesses that they were in the global market. So it was a massive change. And Olin didn't have a CIO.
Right. I was gonna say, I think you were the first CIO, right?
They had some really great, and today, Jeff, is in my organization, some really strong leadership within the IT organization, but they didn't have anyone titled as CIO with global responsibility for all business units, including the Winchester business. So, I was lucky enough to get a phone call about a potential opportunity back in the US because I was living in Europe at the time. And it was the top job for a technology team. In an industry that I knew well, because I've been working in
Yes,
this
you've
industry
been
for
working in
25
chemicals for a
years.
long
Yes,
time,
in an
right?
industry that I knew. And it was transformation. It was integrate this business post-acquisition, get us independent, really advance our digital capability. And so it was, I said in the beginning, what I learned about myself is I love creating something and transforming something and making it better. And so it was almost like the perfect opportunity. So I had to go for it. So we moved, I got the job and moved back here in the summer of 2016.
Oh my
Been
goodness.
here since.
Well, yeah, I know. And you've just done an amazing job. Well, we've got so much more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Christy Barker on the Something Extra podcast.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my friend, Christy Barker. So, Christy, you know, I believe, because this was a huge lift for you. I mean, this was a huge thing that you were brought in to do. So I think you began, I always want to know, where do you start? And I think you started with surveys and more like what I would call a listening tour, right?
Well, yeah, you know, your first few months when you're in any new role like this, you know, my approach that I've had the most successful is you've just got to understand what the need is and really just listen. So don't come in with any preconceived ideas. Just really focus on listening and talking with people in all sorts of jobs and different levels, you know, within your organization. And that's exactly what I did. So, you know, had one-on-ones with other senior leaders to really understand what are you guys trying to accomplish? You know, from there it was, you know, I needed to know what people thought about this IT organization and what did, what were their expectations for years out? So, you know, it was interviews, we did surveys, and, you know, it was clear that people felt like the organization just ran well, but it was a utility. It was like, you know, your phone working. You know, that's really what the value of IT was in the past. And they knew that there was so much,
much more
that could come out of it. Yeah. So, you know, it was clear that we needed a much larger strategy. And part of that strategy was related to integrating all these businesses that the company had just acquired. You know, Olin is it's over 130 years old. It is a very historical company that is strong in both businesses that we're in, very strong in ammunition. You know, Winchester is a very well-known brand for any sportsman or hunter that's out there. You can find it at many of the stores here. So there's the ammunition side and the support that they had during various war periods over all of these, you know, century. And then you've got the chemical side of the business. And it's also got such a long, deep standing history. And, you know, the two companies came together because of common, you know, common needs, who the customers were at periods of time. And you know, they've retained these two legacies. So, you know, today the chemicals business is a larger footprint. It's been global for a long time. We have locations in more than 20 countries, customers in 100 countries, and the Winchester brand is also growing. So, so it's a pretty, I should say, it's a very exciting time, very to be with Olin today.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, and I know, the culture there is a very strong culture, and I was reading about this, but yeah, seen a lot of change, but I think, Christy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the North Star for you guys that has not changed is integrity. Integrity in everything you do. And I just love that. And it's really, you know, not just doing the big things, but the small things. And I know that that's very important to you guys. Integrity first, last, and always. It's the only way that Olin does business. And I love that. But some of your other values, you've got act with integrity, but then driving innovation and improvement. And that's certainly, you know, where technology can come in, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it is technology across the board, whether it's chemistry, you know, and R&D or digital technology, or how we are looking at our business through data and analytics. You know, we truly have this core value that's underpinning everything, which is continuous improvement, further innovation, driving value for our customers, you know, even the communities that we live in, being a great employer, you know, for where we have manufacturing assets. You know, these are all true important factors to how to our culture and how we want to be in the world.
Yes, making a difference in the world in multiple ways, right? So, Christy, I mean, we've already talked about this a little bit, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know you're a very collaborative leader. But what would you say is your leadership style, and have you seen it evolve over the years? And I think there are parts of you that have been tried and true from the get-go, but what would you say? I mean, you're more of a collaborative coaching kind of leader, not a, you know, command and control. You're definitely not command and control.
Absolutely not. I mean, I can be. I'm very decisive. I can make a decision.
Yes.
At the time when a decision is really needed, and I will garner support and influence over those decisions that we need. So, you know, that's not quite command and control, but there is a strong sense of decisiveness. And then let's move on, because that's right. How we can execute and actually make change rather than just talk about change, you know, talk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, you know, I am also a big connector. So this comes with collaboration, but connecting people together and connecting with people. And, you know, I think, you know, a big part of who I am is I focus on, you know, when we do this at Olin, and we have this whole program in our culture, you know, called Lifting People, but I take it a step further. You know, it's more to me about lifting people up and not pushing people down.
Mm.
And this is how, you know, this is how you're going to get the best output and results and, you know, ideas. If you're really focusing on the strengths and the capabilities that people can bring, and not necessarily, you know, focusing on their weaknesses, you know, really focus on their strengths. And you know, that's the kind of leader that I am. And
right.
You know, get out.
It's about the relationship.
And let's like just kind of share what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah. Make sure everyone understands the mission that we're on. What is the mission? And understanding why is so critical as well. You know, it's not just because my boss told me that we need to do this, or, you know, it's understanding the big picture, because then you get more buy-in for the actions that people are taking. And if you can get them to believe, you know, work through their heart and work through their gut and their intuition, you're going to get such a better outcome.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do see that in you. You know, Christy, that just reminds me, I mean, you can influence people in their head. Okay, this is what my boss is telling me to do. But really, the goal is to get to their heart. There's 18 inches between here and here. And you want to get to their heart. And I think the way that you do that is the way that you lead, which is really understanding, like you said, not focusing on their weaknesses, focusing on their strengths, putting people in the right seat on the bus, right? Getting people to connect with one another toward a common goal, and really getting people to understand that what they're doing is part of the bigger purpose and the bigger goal and mission. And I think that's something that you do really, really well. And I think that's probably, you know, why you were a national Orby finalist last year, because you do lead that way. So, you know, can you, what are some of the most impactful technological advancements that you have implemented at Olin, and how have they really contributed to the business's success? Can you just talk about a few of those?
Well, you know, I think there are so many levels, and you can't just, the change that we have put in place and the capability that we've built inside Olin spans everything from having information and data that you can trust to make decisions on. So what that means is we had to get to a common data model and definition of what it is that we're looking at. And, you know, understanding how we're measuring our business, and, you know, get it so that everybody's in understands that same model. So it was basics that we had to put in place. We put in place all new manufacturing and engineering capability, and standardized how we were doing that across all of our manufacturing assets around the world. So that when we're looking at an engineering drawing of a plant, it's coming out, you know, it's we're doing this on a common way across all of our sites. Because then when you start doing this, then you have an engineer who now can span knowledge and expertise and can contribute towards solving a problem that can go beyond their one location. So, you know, how do we connect people and leverage what we're doing on a much broader scale than what we could do before? You know, we put in a whole new SAP, you know, latest and greatest. In the chemical industry, we were one of the very first big global companies to take the jump into SAP S4 and, you know, do it in a way that allowed us to take advantage of many of the new technologies that were part of that whole portfolio from SAP. We had new infrastructure we had to put in place, new collaboration tools for how people were going to work every single day using, taking advantage of cloud. You know, now we're at a position, we're done with all that. We have a whole new, yes, a whole new platform, a potpourri of solutions, common data model. So like now we're focused on the next way we leverage all that investment we made. So we started our first artificial intelligence center of excellence within the company. We're talking with partners, you know, about what that might look like and potential use cases that that could make a real step change difference on helping people be more productive than they are today. We have our first governance committee that started as kind of our review board, but also making sure, because, you know, AI, and especially in this Gen AI field, it's growing or it's changing and evolving so quickly that, you know, there's risks that we need to understand as well. And, yes. You know, yes. You know, what I need to make sure, and I take it as my job, is this is not a technology to replace people. You know, people will always, a human needs to be in the loop at all times and make the judgment. But boy, if I can do some of my tactical work that I do so much faster, think about the hours I free up to do other sorts of
higher value. Higher value creating activities, right?
So this is what we're focused on now. We're moving further into the cloud environments. We have so much advancements we've done on protecting Olin on the cybersecurity space right now. It's a very exciting time.
Right. Yeah. You know, Chrissy, I'm just thinking as you're talking, you've laid the foundation. Yeah, you think about building a house, right? Mm-hmm. That foundation is so critical. So you've put the SAP in, you've laid this foundation with common data models. Now you can really build on that. And it's scalable, right? And I'm even thinking, goodness gracious, I mean, you've done that hard work, Chrissy, and even like, I'm not saying that this is on the horizon, but if there were another chemical company that Olin wanted to purchase, you're going by slowing down and doing the work that you have for the past, whatever, 8 years, you're going to go so much faster now. Absolutely. Right? Yeah, I
mean, and it's no secret, you know, we're a public company. It's, you know, it's public information. We, you know, we're looking to grow as well. And we've done some of these growth moves and we've leveraged the technology capability that we just put in place in these last few years for those alliances and joint ventures that we have in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very exciting. Well, all right. We're kind of coming to the close of our, there's so much more. I'd love to talk to you about women in leadership, women in IT. I mean, we've got so many more, so we may have to do a part two, but I have a little lightning round that I'm going to do with you real fast, and then we'll talk about something extra. So, you know, what would be the best piece of advice, or it doesn't have to be one piece, but for aspiring technology leaders, and they're like, I want to be Chrissy when I grow up. I want to have that top technology spot. What advice would you give them, Chrissy?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not anything unique. Someone once told me very early in my career that you have two responsibilities. You need to know the business and you need to know the technology. And that knowing the technology is not enough. You have to have a business mindset. And I think that is, you know, making that shift. Like for me, we talked in the beginning of this podcast, I started off programming, you know, to get a senior leadership position, you've got to get beyond just the technical know-how. You know, you have the technology expertise, but how do you, in a very concise way, be able to communicate the business value behind what technology you are putting in place and having that acumen and being able to talk about the financial aspects of a business case and what this return may be and how it's going to impact your end customers, the customers that are buying the product that your company is making or the services that your company is serving. You know, this, I think once you get this, you know, you've got both sides, you know, what you need to be a top executive anywhere.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I was not going to do this, but I'm just thinking to myself, I'm going to put a shameless plug in there because we have a whole leadership division now at Technology Partners. And that's the precise thing. We're not teaching technical skills. Chrissy, we're teaching those kind of things, business acumen, agility. How do you move from being an order taker to a consulting mindset? All of these different things. So yeah, reach out to me if and listeners, if you want to learn more about that. But I want to ask you this. So you've got, Chrissy, you've got a big, big role. You got a precious family that I know is number one for you. How do you keep yourself energized or, you know, maybe self-care? I mean, tell me a little bit about that. And then I've got two more questions for you, and then we're going to talk about something extra.
Okay. So for me, I truly believe taking personal time is critical. No matter how busy your life is and how many kids you have and a big career, you can always find time for yourself. So, you know, for me, sleep is not, I mean, so important. My head is clear when I've had a good night's sleep. So don't sacrifice sleep. At least I don't sacrifice sleep. The other thing I do is I am very active. So I practice yoga. I've practiced yoga for 15 years. I, you know, there's not a week that goes by. You know, sometimes I'll only have one solid yoga practice session, and that's okay. But I'm Pilates. I used to run marathons. I don't do that anymore because I'm older and my bones hurt.
The knees hurt.
But, you know, then I shifted to other forms of activity. I hike. Winter, I snow ski. So I try as much as I can, take a couple long weekends during the winter and hit the mountains somewhere and just really connect with nature. You know, that kind of goes back to the way I grew up. We didn't have a whole lot of money. So you know what we did on vacations? We went to a state park and we hiked. Yeah.
You hiked?
You know, it was, that's how we would connect and spend our time together. And I still love that. And I have pushed that on my own kids. They're the same way.
It's so true. And I mean, this could be something like, and what I have found for myself, even if you're getting stuck in your thinking, you try to take a walk, you know, maybe just take a walk at lunch. Because you're getting out in nature, you're breathing the fresh air, you're getting your heart rate up. I mean, it does make a difference. So I know you and Johnny, the kids, you guys love to travel. Do you have a bucket list for travel right now?
Oh my God. Well, so you know, I've been to 31 countries.
31. That's awesome.
You know, and it helped doing a lot of international work and living in other countries, because then you take advantage of it. But there is some places, many places I haven't been yet. I, on my bucket list, I want to go to Croatia. I love Europe. Italy is beautiful, but man, it is just very overrun with tourists. I would love to, you know, I think Croatia's got that same deep history and beauty and food and sunshine. And then the other thing Johnny and I talk about because, you know, I'm usually in airplanes. When we retire, you know, we're
You're
getting
gonna
in the
buy an
car.
RV.
Not an RV. Maybe we'll pull like one of those little teardrops,
Yes.
but we're just hitting national parks
Love it.
yes.
Love it. I've got a really good friend, James Barnett, that was the CEO for DaySpring, and they determined early on that that was going to be their thing, and they've done that since their kids were even little. And their goal is to hit every, now I think there's what, 63 of them in total. So
Yeah, you know, I
we've
haven't
got one
been
here in
able to
St.
do
Louis.
it. Yes, I know. The St. Louis Arch, absolutely. Yeah,
Yes,
I have
yes.
stickers for all the ones that we've been to so far, and it is some of our favorite vacations we take.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love that. One more question. We're going to talk about something extra. What's your favorite pair of shoes?
Okay. You know, I'm a girl, and you'd think they'd be, you know, some, you know, cute little pumps or something, but my sneakers. I love wearing sneakers. Like right now, my favorite pair of sneakers is a pair of white with rose gold. I think they're Steve Madden's. And they're
Okay.
so versatile. And every time I wear them, people are like, I love your sneakers. I was in Denver a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting there at the breakfast at the hotel, and this little girl leans over to me and she goes, I like your sneakers.
Well, you and I share that too. I love a cute pair. Yes, I love Dolce's, I think, is what I've got right now that are just so cute and just love them. And you know what? I'll wear them with a blazer and
Me too. I
it's
wear them with
awesome.
dresses. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So, Christy, this is called something extra. So I have to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra? Or I'll give you two if you need to, that every leader needs.
You know, we've talked about it. To me, it's connecting people and connecting with people. You know, that's how collaboration starts. That's how you can influence. Influence and selling are one of the same. You know, this is the something extra.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you so much, my friend. This has been so much fun. I've loved, loved, loved this time with you, and I cannot wait for our listeners to learn from you. And yeah.
Lisa, you are awesome. You make it so easy, and thank you so much. You are, you know, a legend here as well.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.